Good morning! It is a Friday morning. Good morning, my dear listeners. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, the land of the brave. Good morning to you. You who just tune in Eagle FM. So, good morning to you. Welcome to your favorite talk, 24-hour talk radio stations. It's a Friday morning, the 14th of the 11th, the 14th of the 11th month. And, the year is slowly getting to the end. It's slowly saying goodbye to 2025. So, all right, but we're not yet there. So how are you doing this morning? We normally go very slow. It's one of those days that, you know, much of you are very, 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 very slow. I don't want to say you're slow in thinking. No, definitely not. But, you know, slow into maybe your mind. It's on the weekend already. What are you going to do over the weekend and all that? Let's have this time where we can discuss issues that have to do with our nation development and economic growth. All right. So we still have have 2 hours to do that. Let's just do that. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every day, every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big story. Excuse me. To make sense of the big stories, trends, and number making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, good morning. You are just on time, you know, to get on the boat, to join the family. So good morning and welcome. So, as usual, at this point in time, we're looking at on this day in Africa. So I'm bringing you a quick look at some significant event that took place on November the 14th in the history of our continent. So let's start with a crucial moment in the colonial history of Africa. Now, on this day in 1884, the Berlin Conference began in Berlin, in Germany. Well, so this was a meeting led by German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck. We even have a street. We should actually change that street in Windhoek. You know, there's a Bismarck Street in Windhoek. That coming from Game, passed by the police. By the city police, you know, that going, you know, turn into nasty four-way, you know, that's Bismarck. So hopefully it has changed, you know. Haven't been there for a while. I could be wrong, yeah. But now, this was a meeting led by German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck, where 7 European power, Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, Portugal, Spain, and the United Kingdom. These are the colonizers, right? So they gather to set the rule for colonizing Africa, all right? So what was the result? So the continent was divided up among these European nations. So a process that disregarded Africans' own boundaries and peoples. And the effect of that, the effect of these divisions, are still actually felt today. So we still actually have the colonial borders, then our borders that originally were there. We have people actually divided. So we have, you know, So, yeah, I think, as I said, the effect of this division are still felt today. Now, fast forward to 1958. On November 14th, Madagascar took an important step towards independence. After years of French colonial, after years of French colonial rule and a suppressed nationalist uprising in the 1940s, the island became an autonomous republic within the French community. So this move allowed Madagascar actually to govern its own internal affairs, though it stayed tied to France. Now, but this was just the beginning. Madagascar would go on to achieve full independence less than 2 years later. So on June 26, 1960. Now, moving to a more recent chapter in African history, on November the 14th, 2016, in early hours of the morning, Zimbabwe's military deployed armored vehicles in the capital, Harare, and took control of the state broadcaster's offices. Now, this was the beginning of a military coup that would soon lead to a removal of longtime President Robert Mugabe after nearly four decades in power. And let's remember today is also a World Diabetes Day, observed globally to raise awareness about diabetes, its impact, and the importance of preventing, or the importance of prevention and management. So, well, that's what we have for you. That's all what we have for you on in this day on Africa, in Africa. So, yeah, let's get to what is our thought for the day today. All right, it's Friday, November the 14th. What is our thought for the day? If you think education is expensive, try ignorance. So if you think education is expensive, try ignorance. That's our thought for the day. Now, the proverb is a pith way of saying that while acquiring education can be costly, the consequences of being ignorant are far more expensive in the long run. So the proverb highlights that spending for education should be viewed as an investment, acquiring knowledge, skills, critical thinking, opportunities. And on the flip side, ignorance carries costs, you know, fewer job opportunities, poor decision making, vulnerability to manipulations, you know, or bad outcomes. So now, essentially, it encourages people to view education as an investment that pays off, whereas ignorance can lead to costly consequences that are much harder to overcome. So now, whatever you decide today, whatever your decision today, make sure that if you think education is expensive, try ignorance. So whatever your context, if you don't equip yourself, ignorance will cost you. So that's our thought for the day. So, all right. So welcome back. And it's great to have you. So thanks for joining us. At this point in time, our time is about 14 minutes past the hour of 8. And we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. So I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock, when I will be handing over to Tate France when he comes with Kutha Mosha. So, all right. So, we will come back after this commercial break.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right. And that's my favorite part, you know, the you in UNAM is you. All right. Yes, I can see myself. I can see my me, you know, in UNAM. Eh? Yeah. So, all right. Good morning and welcome. Welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. If you're just joining us. So what can you expect? What are we going to discuss today? So what are we unpacking, you know, this morning? There's an interesting story in today's edition of The Villager by HT on micro enterprises. You know, can Namibia's micro enterprises become big business? Can they become big businesses? That's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at that story. And, you know, President Nandi Ndaitwah takes petroleum sector under her office. Well, amidst a lot of transparency concern. So, if we still have time, we're going to look at that. And it has been reported that in just 5 years, we have lost nearly two-thirds of our employers. So, that also is on the menu, depending how much are we eating, you know? That's also in the menu, on the menu. So, as you can see, we have quite interesting story to cover. So, your participation as well is also part of the show. Make sure that you are unpacked with me, and we will be back. Just a second.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning. You are listening to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio show, where we dive deep into the stories shaping our nations. Well, I'm your host, Michael Chiavelli. And this morning, we're talking about one of the biggest economic puzzle, one of the biggest economic puzzles in Namibia. So why are so many small business struggling to grow? Why in Namibia? Why so many small business in Namibia struggle to grow? And what does now this mean for job creation, inequality in the country, and our future? So that's what we are unpacking at this morning. And it's all related to the story that we have been, you know, discussing. Yesterday, we have an interview with Mr. Domingo, and we look into all this, you know, why the country economic growth is growing economically, even if it's very slowly, but why that growth doesn't trickle there are no tangible, you know, differences in many of our people. So we look at that, and I think this fit into that as well. And now let's this is a story in today's edition of The Villager by HT. Make sure that you subscribe. You subscribe to The Villager, or what you need to do. And this is something that you get for free. Eh? It's something that you get for free. All what you need to do is just subscribe. You send your name and your name and your email to 081-241-44, and then, you know, you subscribe. Just say subscribe and you'll be subscribed, and you will be receiving your copy, your digital copy, coming directly to you right in the palm of your hand, or maybe on your laptop, you know, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So don't miss out on today's one. Maybe if you do that now, you might get even today's one. So make sure that you subscribe. So now, so earlier this week, now that's the story in today's edition, today's edition of the Villager. For read more of the story. We're looking at some aspect that we find more interesting to talk about. Now, earlier this week, a higher-powered masterclass took place in Ventuk. This was organized by the Stamford Seed Transformation Network and the Beers. Now, bringing together experts and entrepreneurs to discuss how Namibia can scale up its small businesses. So, what was the big takeaway from that meeting? Is our micro and small enterprises, those ones that employ most Namibians, are stuck in survival mode. They are stuck in survival mode, struggling to expand. So why is this happening? And what is the fix? How are we going to fix that? So that was the takeaway of that particular, you know, meeting. So now, maybe from the very beginning, let's break it down by asking, why are Namibian MSMEs stuck? Why are they stuck? Now, according now to the panel that were there, there were quite a number of, as I said, these were people from different scope of field and expert and also entrepreneurs themselves. So now, according to the panel, Namibia has a serious imbalance. Okay? We have a serious imbalance, like mining makes up a huge chunk. For example, we have mining make up a huge chunk of our export, so 56%. But mining only employs 2% of our people. So we export it a huge, you know, it makes a huge export, you know, which is 56 of our GDP, of our export, but only employ about 2% of our people. Now, meanwhile, agriculture, for example, which contribute just now, the agriculture contribute only 4 to 7% to our GDP, but agriculture employs over 30%, and that's a massive gap, you know. So mining makes up a huge chunk of our export, 56 of our GDP, but only employs only 2%, okay? Are you following? Of our people, all right? Now, and when you look at agriculture, which contribute now just between 4 to 7, you know, percent to GDP, employs over 30%. Now, it explains why unemployment and inequality stays higher. Because the sector that create the most jobs are not the ones actually making the big money. Yeah? So agriculture, for example. So that is actually employing more people. It's not the one that makes big money. It is mining. So now, here's the reality. Most of unemployment, most of unemployed Namibian, so from the stories that we, from the article, Namibians only have a junior secondary education. So if we keep now waiting now, if we keep waiting for big corporate jobs now to observe them, I think we would be up, we'll be waiting for forever. Now, that's why. Now, this is now where this MSME coming in. So that's why the MSMEs matter. They are the biggest job creator for ordinary Namibians, for those that, you know, that haven't degrees. So, but The scaling up, that's now an issue. The scaling up, scaling them up, that's where we are falling short as a country. So we completely, because maybe they are not in the formal sector, so they are completely ignored. So scaling them up, that's where we are failing short. So, but what is the barrier? What holding back growth? What is the barrier? So what's stopping this business from growing? Well, the expert pointed out a few key issues. Well, some of the things that we normally discuss here. So I just hold a little bit. Just having a bit of cold water. All right. So the expert pointed out a few key issues. Why, what is holding back the growth? What's stopping this business actually from growing? Access to capital, that's a song that we sing every day, and nobody's listening. Well, the government is listening a little bit. They've decided, okay, let's make some finance available, some funds available, like starting the National Youth Development Fund. So the government is listening, but, well, there are financial institutions that should be listening, or maybe it's a matter of policy that would actually change that. So access to capital. Now, big investors, for example, big investors are hesitant to fund small business if they don't see clear financial return. So if they don't see a clear financial return, so big investors are really hesitant to fund small businesses. So, but here's the issue. Many entrepreneurs don't know how to present their business in a way that attracts investors. Do you remember even when now the application, one of the things is that you should have your proper business plan, you know, clear financial projections, you see, those kind of things. So, but many of these that we're talking about earlier on, we mentioned that many of these people only have secondary school qualifications. So, and they, as I said, they don't know how to present their business in a way that can attract investors. So no proper business plan, no clear financial projections, and the result of that, no growth funding. You see? No growth funding because, you know, we lack some of those. And that's also something that comes in with the application during the youth fund, you know? So one of those, those are some of the requirements. And some I interview one of the youth. So what did they do? He have actually paid someone to come up with the business plan. To come up with those clear financial projections. So someone just coming from Ketriatika, somewhere coming from the Ketriatika somewhere, you know, I don't know where that is. So, but somewhere far in the rural area. So, how would he really become vested? How would he be able to do this? Let's say, for example, you don't even money. I mean, even they have, you have a big, good ideas, you know, you have a good ideas, or you're doing something that is, you know, you just, let's say, for example, you're just crafting, you know, something in under the tree, when cars are passes by, they see this is beautiful and all that. And, but because you don't have those business plans, you don't have those financial projections, as I said, investors may not invest in that. We're coming back. We continue.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. We're looking at what is stopping this small business from growing. And the experts are pointing out a few key issues. One of them is access to capital. And we were just looking at that. One, the main point is that, well, our small businesses, many entrepreneurs, okay? So someone make also a difference between, I think there are people who are self-employed, you know, who are self-employed that we refer, many of them that we refer to as entrepreneurs. I think we don't really make much of the difference between a self-employed and an entrepreneurs, and we include even many of the self-employed into this sex, entrepreneurs. But what we're saying is that many of the entrepreneurs don't know how to, you know, to present their business. They don't know how to present their business in the way that attract investors. So because of what they require to do, have a business plan, a proper business plan, have a clear financial projections, and so on and so on. So, and because they cannot be able to do that, you will not be able to get fund to grow. All right. So the other key issues the expert have pointed out is the poor financial management. So money comes in, it's my money. I can do with it as I want. And as I said, this is the difference now between self-employed, you know, and entrepreneurs in entrepreneurship. Maybe something that we can also talk about that in detail with somebody, you know. So now the poor financial management, some business get loans, you know, once they get loans or maybe they get a grant, but don't use them wisely. They don't use them wisely. Some overspend, some lack basic accounting, just the basic accounting. You know, others don't plan for the long term. Now, without those skills, I think without these skills, well, even a good idea, I think, can fail. So, and that's why in the youth development, I mean, in the development fund, youth development fund, they have now embedded in a mentorship and mentorship and training. So to provide this kind of skills, you know, to provide skills that can help actually the business to survive. Because much of the entrepreneur, as from surveys, don't last beyond 3 years. You see? So, yeah. So without these skills, so definitely, the business will not grow. Okay. And, if you don't have paper and record that shows you can manage your finance better, so investors won't even invest in that. Bank won't even give you loan. Lucky enough, those who have given this, you may be that might be the last. So, yeah, poor financial management is one of the key issue. The other key issue is the lack of support network. You know, running a business is tough. Especially if you don't have mentors, if you don't have a mentor, you don't have a peers to learn from. So it's not easy. So that's where training programs like those, from Stamford Seed come in. This is where now this is actually, those programs actually coming in, teaching entrepreneurs how to build strong businesses. But the question is, enough Namibians taking advantage, you know? Do we have Namibians that are actually taking advantage of these opportunities? So those are some of the key issues that are pointed out by the expert. Now, maybe the question that we need to look at is, I always said, look at the bigger picture. How does this fit into Namibia's economy? How does that fit into our development goal? You know, so the fact that, you know, the small businesses are not growing to bigger companies. How does that fit into our our bigger picture, our developing plans. So Namibia Visions, our Vision 2030, and of course the NDP6 both push for SME growth. They are pushing for SME growth. If you read through that, because everyone knows that, because everyone knows that small business drive jobs. Okay. So, and this is an opportunity. If we maybe invest in there, we will see a growth in terms of job creation. So, but the question maybe we need to ask is, but, you know, policies, are the policies matching the reality? So are our policies really matching the reality? For example, right? And look at, this is something that, Mandume used to say, the SME bank collapse. You know, that's a huge setback. Now, meant to help small businesses. What are we doing now? What has been done since then? Eh? So it was meant to help businesses. It instead became a cautionary tale about poor governance. And what is the lesson? Support system must be well managed. Okay? So it must be well managed. So the other example, so when we're asking what are these policies matching reality, you know, the example of credit access. So banks often demand collateral that small entrepreneurs don't have. That's why the government now, instead of maybe having a policy that somehow force the banks to reduce their interest rate. Now the government actually come up with this funding for the youth, which is good, with actually lower interest rate compared to the banks. So the credit access, you know, it's as I said, the bank often demand collateral that small entrepreneurs don't have. Now, should government guarantees or alternative funding model step in? And we have seen that by Youth Development Fund. So, but how long, you know, how long that's, and we have seen from other countries how that turn out. So shouldn't we look into a mechanism that could be sustainable? Yes, let's start. Let's see how it goes. But the question is, how long that would actually continues. And the other thing also, and as an example of our policy matching the reality, is that the informal versus formal. Now, many micro business operate informally. So why? Sometimes it's because no tax record, no bank account. You know, how do we bring them into now the system? So without really, really, really crushing them with so many red tapes. Eh? So how do we then bring them into that system without really overburden them with so many paperwork and bureaucratic, you know, crap, you know? So how do we do that? So, and sometimes here's something we don't talk about enough, okay? So I will let you come. Now, what are we talking about scaling? Scaling means selling beyond your neighborhood, okay? Now, if it means selling beyond your neighborhood, that involves, you know, what are we talking about now? We're now this people expert that comes together and talk about, we need to scale up this. It means selling beyond your neighborhood. And that involves marketing. It involves packaging. It involves delivery logistics. And sometimes meeting national or export standard. So sometimes you need to have to now, if you need now to scale up, there are certain standards that you need to meet for you to be able now to sell overseas or whatever the case may be. Or just national standard. There are some standards that you need to meet. Now, a dressmaker in Kadutura, may produce a beautiful garment. Eh? So, but without brand development, for example, e-commerce presence, or a scalable production system, she's stuck. Eh? She's stuck. She'll be just serving a small customer base where in her own area where she is. So there's so many things that has to be in place to talk about scaling up. Yeah, maybe we also need to unpack the formality trap. You know, this formality trap. Many micro businesses are informal to avoid tax and some other regulatory cost. So by staying informal means that it means they can't easily access the loan. Okay, joint value chains or supply big retailers. They cannot. And I remember I have one of my nephew, you know, who is very good welding and other things. But then you think, because staying informal, he cannot able to, you know, to do to apply for a tender, to just maybe even just, you know, fix a roof in a specific school, in a particular school, you know, which is just a simple thing to do. So our tax framework for startups could be more flexible. I think it could be more flexible. Perhaps graduated tax scale. You know, you start here, you know, and as you grow, you know, this is how much, you know, just to encourage, first of all, you encourage now the formalization without really killing the business in its infancy. You know, we're just starting. I think that's something that we probably need to look at more. So, and the other thing is the education and skills. So, most unemployed Namibian have, as you have heard, have junior secondary school education. Now, our vocational training centers could be better linked now to entrepreneurial programs. You know, imagine if Namibia Training Authority ran courses that not only taught carpentry or catering, but also embedded business management skill as part of every trade, whether carpentry or whatever, you know, so impaired in a business managing skills, because those are something that has been identified as our key issues. And let's talk about investor bias, okay? The investor bias. Many funders prefer, you know, this tech-driven startup or business sector they understand. So, and they often ignore, you know, if there is this community-based enterprises, maybe in agriculture or craft or some kind of services. These are hardly actually, you know, funded. So, but those are the ventures that hire locally. Eh? They are the ones that hire locally and stay rooted in Namibia's economy. But those ones don't get funded. They're looking for, they prefer more this tech-driven, you know, kind of startups. So, I think those few things that we really, you know, I think sometimes we come together and we get a platform where we can say nice things. It happened. It happened. Even when you listen to sometimes ministers and, you know, all these well-educated people, sometimes you listen and kind of, yeah, you ignore. There is a reality that you maybe have lived far too long from that reality. So you have lived the other side of town for too long. You probably don't come to Katutula anymore, and things have changed. And you're only speaking, you know, from where you are and thinking that, okay. So what I'm saying, there are certain things that actually need to happen to be able to implement certain things that may be put forward. Possible solution. What can be done? So what what the way forward, what is the way forward? The masterclass suggested a few things, you know, better training. Yes, that's true. Entrepreneur needs skills, financial literacy, literally financial literacy, business planning. We need those. And so we also investor, you know, how you can pitch your business, you know, how you, you know, investor pitches. Okay. How you pitch your business. And then program like now, Stanford Seed Leadership Training help. Those would definitely help. But more local initiatives are needed. We need more local initiatives. So the other assets we're looking now, what are they come up with? Masterclass suggested also the stronger peer network, you know, learning from the other business owners can also then prevent costly mistakes, because others have gone through that already. Peer mentorship definitely works. And why aren't we doing more of it? Okay. Let's make this a strategy. So why aren't we doing more of it? Well, and then definitely what they suggested also, smarter policies, government incentives, easy loans access, and a real world business education in schools. Could all this help? Really kind of like business education in school. So that would also really could also I think help. So yeah, in the end, why do we bring this to you? Why do we have it in our newspaper? Why do we think this is, at the end of the day, this is not just about entrepreneurs, okay? It's about all of us. So if a small business grow, they create jobs. And if they create job, family thrives. So, and if Namibia's economy diversifies beyond mining and agriculture, then we all win, isn't it? So that's the idea. So as you go about your day to day, think about the small businesses in your community. What would it take for them to double in size? What would it take for them to double in size? Is it training? Is it finance? Is it better regulations? Or is simply a bigger custom base? Maybe it's what it needs is a bigger custom base. What is, you know, the small business in your community, what does it, okay? So what would it take for them to double in size? Because that's the problem that we have. So, because the day we start actually solving that puzzle, that is the day Namibia's growth story changes that we were talking about yesterday. So, I'm going to open up my line now. So my question to you, my listeners, do you think Namibia is doing enough to help small business grow? Are we doing enough, you know, to help the business grow? So what is your experience? Maybe you're a small business person or you have been, you know, part of this. What is your experience? Have you struggled to get funding or training? Well, it's your time to talk to us. 08-333-66-091. 083-0833-66-091. We want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. 083-0833-66-091. So, do you think Namibia is doing enough to help a small business to grow? And, as I said, you know, in your community. So, I want you today, just today, think about the small business in your community. Yeah? What would it take? We think, what would it take actually for them to double in size? So the meme that sell the kapana, eh? What would it take for her, you know, to double what, you know, to really double what is there, to grow? What would it take? Is it training? Is it finance? Is it some policy that need to, you know, to come in place? Is it, or simply bigger? Maybe they need more customer base. What is that? What is it? So 083-333-66-091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome. Good morning and good morning. It's Friday morning. And if you're just tuning in, this is Unpacking the Day. So, yeah, our line is open now. You're most welcome to come through. So we're talking about, you know, specifically what's stopping these, you know, our SMEs, small businesses, from growing. And as earlier on, I talked about what this masterclass, you know, focused on, and the expert pointed out a few key issues, which are some of the things most of you discuss about, we talk about quite often here. So access to capital, those are some of the things. And yeah, those are some of the things identified, poor financial management, and lack of support network. So those are some of the things that push, you know, that are hindrance to the SMEs, you know, success or growing, or growing. So, yeah. So, what is your take, and what do you think? What is your reaction to the story? And you please make sure that you subscribe to The Villager, and you can also be able to go through the story yourself and with more details. So. 083-333-6-0-91. It's the number you can call. Yeah, it's always slow. It's always slow. I mean, when I was talking, there were a number of, you know, you were trying to get through, but now that I'm giving you opportunity, you disappear. Are you playing hide and seek? Huh? All right. So 083-333-6-091, it's the number you can dial. We come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. Yes. Yeah, this is, you know, something that we should be discussing about. So looking at what can be done, and when we look at the masterclass now suggestions, as I said, yeah, sometimes, you know, it doesn't take much of the cognizance of where people are, the situation, the reality, you know, and even policies, when you look at some of the policies that being, you know, discussed about, it completely sometimes ignores the reality of the people that you want to help, you know. So, yeah, better training. We need to do that. Entrepreneurs really need skills. That's the most important thing. We need more, you know, financial literacy, you know, business planning and all that. Okay. So and we have Stamford Seed, have some, training in those, you like, Stamford Seed, leadership training. You know, these are some of the training that can be able to help, but so we also need some local initiatives. You know, we need some local initiatives to help our entrepreneurs. All right. Yeah. And I think it's a good thing also to look when you see that, I think, which is also seen that network. It's really a strong network is needed, learning from other business owners. You have to learn from those who have actually climbed the rope before you, you know, just to avoid, you know, costly mistakes. And that's why, you know, most of the entrepreneurs in 3 years, you know, the business collapse. So peer mentorship works. It does work. And I just don't understand why we don't do, why we don't make that as a strategy, moving forward. Okay. Because it works. Let's take what it works. Okay. And definitely let's have smart policies that have some, that incentivize, people wanting to, you remember the other time when we talk about Afrobarometer's survey, which more people want actually to work for the government rather actually, you know, start run their own business. It's because there aren't incentives. You know, people don't see that there are incentive in doing that at this point in time in Namibia. So, yeah, some incentive, easy loan access. Those are things. Have, you know, a real world business education in schools that also can help. You know, when you get out there, you know how to, you know, do the basic things. So, what is your take? 08333-6091. I'm waiting you to come through and have your say.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konaraje tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter. Yes. Welcome. Welcome. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. Our time is 58 minutes past the hour of 8. And, if you're a business person or you just actually want to advertise your event, whatever kind of event, a function, a workshop, a conference or a meeting. And sometimes you just want to have that real time exposure via, you know, live streaming and broadcasting. Well, Eagle FM, we can be able to do that for you. All what you need to do, contact our office number, 083-288-400. 083-288-400. All right. And please, if you're looking for, and this is if you're looking for really those latest economic and business news, hey man, get yourself a free copy of The Villager. Eh? Get yourself a free copy of The Villager. It's out today. Today's edition is out already. And all what you need to do is simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. And be sure to save that number because we don't want to be like your spam or something like that. So The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All right. So make sure that you subscribe to get your copy on those when it's published. So good morning. And we were looking at why Namibian MSMEs are stuck. All right. So that's where what we were looking at. And and if you want to know more, as I said, get yourself the Villager. Go to the story. Story it's in today's newspaper, today e-newspaper in The Villager. All right. Okay. before we get, let's get to the caller quickly and then. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you, man?
I'm great.
Yeah.
Hi.
I'm all right.
You're fine.
It's Friday, man. It's Monday and Friday. Those are my days.
You have enough time to air your view.
Yeah.
Yes, small businesses.
Yeah.
Maybe I should... let us say you are living in town.
Yeah.
And you occasionally you go and visit the village.
Mm.
How much intentionally you include in your budget that you are going to spend in your village, apart from maybe buying beer?
So you already go with your, you know, with your supplies, actually, when you go there. You're packed up, knowing how many, how long you'll be able to, how long you will be there.
Why?
Because when you're buying, one example, when you're buying in ShopRite, it's far cheaper when you are going to buy the mini shop that is in your village.
Okay. Well, in terms of price difference, how much is that?
The
price difference.
It could be $10 or $20. It shouldn't be much, really. Yeah.
Did it really go that much? $20, $10, $20. Is it that really?
So let me give an example. A two liter bottle of a cold drink. You will buy, well, sometime might be find it on sale. Okay, let's say normal where you buy it from maybe 22, 20, you know, in let's say ShopRite, okay?
The normal price.
Yeah, around there, between 22, 24, around there, okay?
Yeah.
And then you go to your village, you probably find it $30.
Okay, $30.
Yeah, so probably 6 or 7, you know, more. Mm.
Okay. First of all, those prices, are they justifiable, the one in the village?
Of course they are justifiable, because you add your transport, you know, to go and get them, and, you know, yeah, it's justifiable, far justifiable.
It's justifiable. We agree that those prices are justifiable.
Yeah, no, they are justifiable, yeah.
Now, we want to see business development, especially small business development, not just in town, all over, wherever we find ourselves. But are we prepared to spend that extra dollar to support them?
When you talk about the consumer, I mean, from the point of view of the consumer doesn't care about, you know, really supporting small entrepreneurs. He only cares about his own pocket.
Okay.
And that's a problem we have, even when you rush to Choppies or whatever, be this retailer, then actually buying tomato and onions from the local boy who is selling next door, you know.
I need somebody to verify the story that I'm about to say. Apparently, when a Jew enter a town or a city, the first question they will ask, where are the shops owned by the Jews here? Do we have any shops that is owned by the Jews? And if they find a shop that is owned by the Jews, that's where they shop, regardless of the price.
You know that you're talking the Jew as people.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Regardless of the prices in that shop, they say we are going to support our brother.
That's true. That's even Muslim. I mean, I have been in Cape Town. Sometimes it's because the kind of food they want, they are strict orders of food or the food that they need to eat. But mostly they buy from their shop, from Muslim shops.
Okay.
Yeah.
to support their brother.
Yeah, support. Yeah, to support the money actually is within the community itself.
So now you see, one of the biggest challenges that has been established when it comes to small business development,
yeah,
is the buying power. People that are supposed to buy, they are very few.
Yeah,
that buying power is not there.
Mm.
But at the same time, we also don't have. There's not even a subject in our school that is talking about village economy.
Hmm, that's interesting. Yeah.
There's no subject in school that talk about village economy. How does the village economy work? How we can? Because when we talk of economy, and we always start from the top, like the Namibian economy.
Mm.
Just imagine if we start from the village economy.
Yeah.
The people in the village, they are the main driver of that village economy.
Mm.
Let me give you another example. You know, you find somebody die in your family or in my family.
Yeah.
You know, we normally gather, we come together, we put money together. And then when we put the money together, just to make things, just to give, to paint how bad the situation is.
Yeah.
One of the family members, he owns a mini shop.
Yeah.
Either near or not, but it's not a river, but he owns a mini shop.
Mm.
Do you know that so far I have not come across whereby the family member comes and now we have gathered 20,000.
Mm.
Let us ask the brother or the uncle, what does he have in his shop that we can buy from him?
Yeah.
So that when we go to ShopRite, we only go and buy what is not in his shop or I can stay extend it to the village where you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, let us spend. Yeah.
Actually, the concept that you it's very interesting what you're saying, because have you ever been at the Komakwato? You know, at pension distribution? How do you call that? You know.
Yeah.
When you go to when they're going to receive their pension.
Yeah.
You know, in the villages where that distribution is done, you find that people from the village come and sell their stuff.
Yeah.
Do you understand? But now you ask yourself, why wouldn't they do this on a regular basis? Not just when there's an event like that, but why, as you say now, a village
economy. Village economy. Yeah.
So why don't you uplift that kind of a business activity? You know, because it's much cheaper. Then you have things that are omavandani, kwashikene, all that. So it becomes easier. Then many people wouldn't actually end up going to the, you know, to ShopRite or retailer, to Choppies and things like that. So I think that's a very interesting thing to think. Village economy, I think something that maybe we need to look at more in addressing issues that we're talking about here.
Okay, now, the scenario that I was giving you now, just imagine if we are able to say, okay, we have gathered 20,000.
Yeah.
We look at, we know the prices in those mini shop, mini markets in our village.
Yeah.
They are slightly a bit higher compared to the prices in town.
Yeah.
Because that is, they need to make a bit of profit. But if we can really say, okay, yes, we know it's a bit of expensive, but if we can spend that money in the village, we will be able to sustain the job that is there.
Yeah.
And that even that uncle, just imagine the uncle that is part of your family, and you say we are going to spend this amount of money.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, this uncle is in a better position even to contribute more.
Mm.
To contribute more. Now, when it comes to the village economy, just imagine you are going to the village and then you make a list of all the products you are going to buy.
Mm.
I'm going to buy salt, I'm going to buy all this. And then you say, I'm going to remove everything that I can get from my village.
Yeah.
From the list. I'm not going to buy salt, because salt either it has been there for some time, because people talk about quality, because now they are, because they have money, they know what is the difference between quality and whatever.
Yeah.
You remove all the things that you can get from the village. Remove everything.
Yeah.
And then you buy those things that you cannot get in the village. And just imagine if you deliberate a 500 in your budget and say, I'm going to spend this 500 buying, supporting the shops in my village. And how many of us are staying in Mushimba? We are a lot. Just imagine all of us from Mushimba, we have 500.
Yeah.
We have budgeted that I'm going to spend this 500 at my village.
500 is what you drink in a day, my friend.
No, I'm not talking about it. Remember I removed the drinking part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said, let us forget about the drinking part. Let us just talk about buying, spent on the product.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, we will see that, yes, the custom base, the purchasing power in our village will increase, and those that are trying to do business there, they will find they are encouraged to continue doing more business.
Mm.
But this attitude, yes, I know there are people in the village who cannot afford to spend extra dollar because they are already poor.
Yeah, yeah.
That one we cannot run away from it. There are people who cannot spend extra dollar because they are poor. And I understand, let them go and buy where it's a bit cheaper. But for those who can squeeze in that extra dollar, please, let us go back to our village and pay that extra $4, $5 just to support the businesses in our village.
Yeah, no, definitely that's right. And I think the whole question of village economy is something that maybe one have to look into that more.
Yes.
Because that's sound something that really looking at what the things that we, some of the issues why this small business is actually not growing, and especially maybe in the rural area. So I think we need to look more deeper into that and see how do we then create more economic activities in the rural itself, and also in the way you're saying, how do we save deliberately to support the business activity in the village. That would also stop many people coming to town, because they know that there are people who are coming from town to come and buy certain things that they cannot find in town. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not just about what the government can do.
Yeah.
It's also about we as citizens, especially those that are in a position to pay extra dollars.
Yeah.
Let us go and support the people, those that are crying.
Yeah, that's true. Eh? That's very true. Yeah.
For those things that you cannot get from the village, yeah, it's okay. But the things that you can get from the village, no, let us support those guys. It's the same thing with now it's raining. You know, it's raining now.
Yeah.
And people are going to cultivate. We are using the tractors to cultivate our field, which is fine. But when it comes to plow, kuherere, come on, let us use that opportunity to empower those that are in the village and pay them to do the same for us.
Yeah.
Instead of government, government is investing money in buying these plowing tractors.
Yeah.
Come on. How can you buy plowing tractors where you have people who can arrange themselves, 5 of them, 10 of them, they come and do your field. And in the process, you have created job for those unemployed people in the village.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there are a lot of things that we can identify and even as you said, Anata Drukuherera, you can actually have a team of people who organize themselves when it comes to rain season already. You understand? You know? And that's a business for you have created for these people. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. That's a really good idea. That's a really something to think about. All right. Thanks for coming through. Yeah. Village economy. Yeah. I think something to really look. And this is what I think the governors, this is what they should be talking about. The councillors, constituency councillors. This is what they should talk about. They should talk about the village economy. So Yeah, and how do we uplift that idea? You know, what we have already in our communities, and maximize the opportunities that we have already. And sometimes you can just make your, you know, if you start something, you know, in your village, even sometimes village expo. You know, I'm not talking the village that's recognized as a village, town, you know, village town or something. So I'm talking just in your, you may have a space where people in your village, now as a counselor or as a business person, where you allow people to come and showcase their, not just showcase, but also, you know, sell, their product. Maybe every quarter, every 3 months, you know, people come, maybe depending on the demand. And we should know of certain things that actually people need in that specific village, you know. So yeah, I think those are some of the things that maybe as a caller said, we're not paying attention to. So maybe what we need to pay more attention. All right. Good morning, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So you can also come through and have a conversation. 0833-66091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana na nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onara hita tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yeah, well, if you are a, what is that, on-the-go kind of person like myself, you know, the Eagle FM mobile app is the solution. It's the solution. Wherever I am, I'm not kandrikoni mesiga. You know, I can always listen to any programs, some of those my favorite programs, you know. And all what you need to do is just to download it from Google Play and also the App Store. So yeah, and wherever you find yourself, you are connected. You don't have to, you know, you're not limited to be in a certain place to be able to listen to. So make sure that you download and you will have access to many other things. It's not just about listening to your program, but, you know, you're not rushed. If you're not listening at that time, you can always go back and listen to the program from the podcast. So there are many vacancies as well. Sometimes there are vacancies there. So there are reports from different institutions, especially finance report, business report. So those are things. There are also manifestos. The election is coming. We had those manifestos there. So get there, review them. See what your party is promising, so that you can hold it accountable. So make sure that you download the Eagle FM mobile app. All right. So let's change gear a bit. All right. So yeah. Now, if you have been paying attention to the news this week, you will know that the president, Netumbo Bonane Ndaitwa, our beloved president, has made a major move. So the entire petroleum sector is being brought under her office. Now, but there are mixed reactions. There are mixed reaction. And if you look into the daily newspaper, you have a number of expertise, a number of analysts, you know, airing their concerns and their reactions. And many people are already questioning whether this will lead to a stronger, a more transparent industry, or whether we are opening the door to a more centralized power. So now let's dive in deep into the, before we get into that, let's get a caller. Very good morning.
Yes, morning, Mike.
So how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right.
That's good.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's true that if we can, some of the establishments can be created in our village.
Mm.
And because we know there the potential is so great.
Yeah.
It's not in terms of, say, you want to mobilize for financial resources or even the capacity.
Mm.
You did mention of some kind of training.
Yeah.
In terms of leadership and management skills. And those things, many a times, even the people who give, funding for good, promotable and business, you know, those viable business proposals. Like yesterday, NIFA and many other stakeholders, these are youth.
Mm. You know?
And they are focusing on the access to funding and the marketing, access to funding and marketing. They will market your products.
Yeah.
They give you knowledge and skills from experience as to how to even get connected to other, because many a times we, as a local business or entrepreneurs, many of these investment forums are taking place, and we do not, I don't know, maybe it's part of our ignorance that Dr. Tony Nyoma, the new leadership, so rest in peace. They came up with those kind of function and say, let's not be ignorant, say this is.
Yeah.
And you are told that God doesn't also support that. Either laziness of the mind or whatever. So if we can establish what the person, if I really understood him well, when he was saying that even in our community, our surroundings, villages, we can come together, marshal our resources together, that may be solar energy that we can plow in there.
Yeah.
But we still have people who have capital. And this is where some of these sectors of production, which are also very difficult to get in the urban areas. Yesterday, when you were talking about with Mr. Gaukaseb.
Mm.
So that one, I think, did I come in yesterday? I didn't.
No, you didn't,
I didn't. So I missed that thing. So you can see some of these decentralization issues that he was talking about.
Yeah.
And he's also talking, we know very well, the political decentralization is there. There are also physical kind of decentralization because people have to work together within there. Mm-hmm. So I think there are also really things that we ourselves we can do.
Yeah.
Because even when the motivating this redemption of our loan, we thank God for them there. And she was saying now, after that, he said, now we want to mobilize for consumption. Yesterday we were also saying yes, because they say that the gap that is there, so maybe we might be forced to go again for a loan.
Yeah.
So, but if we have got our capital base, even if some of this money is getting lost into some of these ventures, the GDP, I mean the total value of assets,
yeah,
say for example GAPF and many others. So if we can mobilize within here and now focusing on the consumption or whatever, but the construction is obvious.
Mm.
The construction is booming, goes with energy. Whether you can produce the solar panel or manufacture them, the time will come to manufacture them. But, electrify those villages and schools and all these towns that are growing.
Yeah.
So I think many a times we want to go it alone,
yeah,
which is also a problem. If you are to establish a mini shop, naming it whatever, just like what they did in Okatana and many people are doing, go in the shop there. All what you find is abandoned. Mm-hmm. I mean, not in the villages.
Yeah.
So make someone, you establish those things, put out yourself, the Lani's groups and all these others. How did they do it?
Mm-hmm.
If they got their funding from the government, you are also having some entry point to get from the government.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
Cool.
0833-66091, if you still actually want to contribute on our first stories. All right, we were moving, we were getting on board, we're not on standstill. We're looking at it's also a story that is in the, maybe worth looking at. As I was saying, that the president, Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, has made a major move, which the petroleum sector, the entire petroleum sector, is being brought under her office. Yeah, and so there are reactions, but there are mixed reactions. There are those who think that it's a very good idea, and there are those who are questioning whether this will lead to a stronger, a more transparent industry, or whether we are opening a door to more centralized power. So now we're going to look at some of these various analysts in the daily newspaper and look at all the possible ramifications. So we will dive deep into the implications of these decisions. Maybe unpacking this from multiple angles and perspective from various analysts who give their opinion. All right. So, but let's give it a context. Where does it come from? The background and the context of this. It all started earlier this year when the president, Nandi-Ndaitwah, announced that the oil and gas sector would be moved into the office of the president. So according to her, this was necessary to ensure close supervision of what she called an industry still in its infancy. Okay. Now she pointed to the complex nature of the petroleum sector and how it requires a close monitoring. So, and fair enough. After all, it is a new frontier for Namibia. Oil discovery of our coast have been taunted as a potential game changer for the economy. So that, as I said, that's a fair enough to, you know, for the president to take that move. But this week, the plot thickened, right? Acting Minister of Mines and Energy, Franz Kapofi, took it a step further by introducing the Petroleum Exploration and Production Amendment Bill for 2025. So the bill aims to formally, you know, transfer the oversight and regulatory function from the Ministry of Mines to the President's office. We'll continue after this.
Imba ya rile ombu anai etepawe dhako ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irile ombupu o hakaane na wina ikare no matha kumurungu wa indu. Weri rongere kusha umune ondenguo kuura kwe imba. Una oviume vya peke kwa gondola milongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe. Toho kwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yokia nja oshimariva. Oo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Oo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Oo peresente umilongo ivari na dano. Kumyeze umurongo na ivari moshimariva. Itororela ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina wanyano kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarithiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, now we're talking about, so this week then, the acting minister of Mines and Energy, Franz Kapofi. Now, as I said, he took a step further by introducing now the Petroleum Exploration and Product Production Amendment Bill of 2025. Now, the bill aims to formally transfer oversight and regulatory function from the Ministry of Mines to the President's Office. Now, the proposal include establishing a new regulatory body, the Upstream Petroleum Unit, directly under the President's supervision. So Kapofi said the new unit will strengthen transparency, compliance, and governance. According to him, the reform will bring professionalism to the sector and create a clear accountability structures. Now, sounds good on the paper, but there are always but, is there in? So now let's look at some of the concern. You know, some people are applauding this move, okay? But others are raising serious flags, you know? And we're going to now take a closer look at some of the arguments. And have yours also, you know, you can also come through later and have your argument as well. So as I said, the article is in the Daily newspaper. So first up, the political analyst Henning Melba. So he warns that the consolidating power in the president office could pave the way for autocratic rule. Now, the fear here is that we might be shifting towards a model where decisions are made behind closed doors. So without enough oversight. Now, after all, Namibia is supposed to be a democracy, and too much concentration of power, especially in a sector of a lucrative and critical as oil, can be risky. So, and then there's the question of trust. The question of trust, if we're being honest, the petroleum sector in Namibia have been made by allegation of corruption and cronyism. So in fact, some have suggested that placing now the oil portfolio under the president office, it might actually help to shield, you know, to shield it from those issues. So, but as a political analyst, Zakaria Johannes pointed out, this could also suggest that the president actually doesn't trust the existing institution or her own cabinet, you know? So he doesn't trust in the existing institutions, you know, the NAMCOR of this world, you know, or her own capacity to be able to give it to someone rather than herself, to properly manage the sector. Maybe she doesn't trust her own cabinet actually to properly manage the sector. Now, that raises another big question, You know, shouldn't our system be strong enough to function without the need of micromanagement from the top? So that's, as I said, it raises another big question. So look, I get it. So the oil and gas industry is worth billions. It's a high stakes game. You know, we need to get it right. So, but this is not just about the president's decision, isn't it? It's about the broader implication for how we govern and manage national resources. So that's at the core of, I think, of these discussions. And before I get into deeper into this, let's throw another perspective into the mix. Now, we have you know, Rich Chitende. Chitende, another analyst, raised an interesting point. Now, he wonders why the same level of urgency isn't applied to other sectors like healthcare or housing. Now, he asked if oil is such a priority, you know, why not give the same kind of oversight to areas that are already in crisis, you know, like housing or healthcare, where lives are on the line every single day. So, well, that's a fair point. I think it's a fair point. We're talking about a sector that is not even fully operational yet, and yet it gets the full weight of the president's attention. So, now, meanwhile, the basic service, when we're talking about that, that hasn't really, you know, get off yet, you know, get off the ground yet. So while we still have services like healthcare continue to struggle with overcrowded hospitals, underfunded programs. So that's what he's asking. Shouldn't the president be focusing on the pressing national issues first? So all those ideas, all those are just perspective people are having when it comes to that. Now, let's return to the idea of transparency. That is the buzzword we have been hearing a lot lately. Now, Minister Kapofi, the acting minister, insists that the new bill will improve transparency by requiring the government to report on oil royalties annually to the National Assembly. So there will also be measures to prevent conflict of interest, like making senior officials disclose their assets to the president, the one that will be, you know, working in this department. They will say will be required to disclose their asset to the president, so that, you know, there is no conflict of interest. So that's great, I think, and because that creates more checks and balances. So, but let's pause for a moment, okay? Now, if the ultimate decision-making power rests with the president, who's supposed to hold the president accountable? Just a thought. So, yes, the National Assembly, but they don't exactly have the final say on the executive's actions. So, do they? They don't. Now, this is where things get tricky, I think. So transparency is only as effective as the system that enforces it. And if those systems are weak, and we might just be going in the circle. So we might just be going into the circle. So now, let's talk about the potential risk and possibly maybe the reward, you know. And this we have Graham Hopwood, a director of the Institute of Public Policy Research, seem to believe that the amendment bill could be a positive step. You know, it could be a positive step. He argued that it is logical to create a legal framework to support the new regulatory body, the UPU. So if done right, he says, you know, this body could help manage the sector effectively. So he also acknowledged a major gap, that we don't know yet whether the new unit will have the speed and efficiency needed to make things happen. Because he believes time is money in the oil business. So slow decision making can scare off, you know, investors. So, and we are in that process. And this brings us back now to the concern about political interference. Investors want to know that the system is predictable and is reliable. You know, if regulatory body is seen as just an extension of the president's power, you know, that could undermine investors' confidence and discourage long-term investment. Yeah, so that's the point he's putting forward. Now, this is the crux of the issue, okay? The oil sector is a national asset, but it's also, I think it's also an international, it's also an international one. So if we want to unlock its full potential, we need to ensure that we have a framework that is strong, that is robust, independent, and trustworthy. So the question is, does this move make that framework stronger, or does it replace, does it place maybe too much power in the hands of one person? So, yeah. What do you think? So there you have it. As the government pushes ahead with plans to centralize control over the petroleum sector, the big question remains, will this strengthen the industry or open the door for more problems? So it's clear that there are strong arguments on both sides. What is certain is that this is an issue we can't ignore. We cannot ignore this. It touches on how we govern, how we manage our resources, and whether we can build a future of growth that benefits every Namibian. So, yeah, that's why I say we can't ignore it. So I want to hear from you. So what do you think? Is centralizing control over oil a necessary move, you know, to safeguard our resources? Or is it a recipe? Maybe you think it's a recipe for a disaster. So what do you think? Is centralizing control now over this sector a necessary move now to safeguard our resources? So someone yesterday actually said, well, we have tried everything, but not in this way. Maybe we tried everything, you know, and it didn't work. Why can't we try that? So why can't we try that and see how it works? All right? So hopefully it doesn't become a recipe for disaster. Okay? 08333 66 091. So you are welcome to air your view and your reaction and your contribution. 08333 66 091.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana nonge shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakudo nirandi toma yoe, yonge shifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeleha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konara heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, good morning. Our time is about 44 minutes past the hour of 9. And, yeah, we we're looking at this point in time, we're looking at the issue of petroleum sector, where this week, Acting Minister of Mines and Energy, Franz Kapofi, took it a step further by introducing petroleum exploration and production. The amendment bills of 2025. Now, as we've seen and has been debated, and there are reactions from different analysts, so the bills aims to now formally transfer oversight and regulatory function, you know, from the Ministry of Mines to the President's office. So, yeah, different people have different reactions. So what is your reactions? You know, some feel that, you know, there'll be too much, you know, centralized power. Some people feel actually that would pave a way for autocratic rule. Consolidating power in the president's office could actually pave the way for autocratic rule, you know. And you have also those who also thinks that, you know, maybe this also suggests that the president, he doesn't really trust his existing institution, you know, or her own cabinet to properly manage the sector. So that's why, you know, she wants it under her control. Yeah. So, yeah. And you have also people like Richie Tende, who also saying, well, if it's oil is such a priority, then why not give the same kind of oversight to areas that are already in crisis, yeah, for, I'll give an example, for housing and health care. So, yeah, because now this is where now, the point is that where we are talking about now a sector that not even, you know, that not even fully operation yet, but while we still have, you know, basic services like healthcare continue to struggle with overcrowding hospitals and so on, so, and underfunded programs. Shouldn't then the president, you know, be focusing on these pressing national issues first? Yeah. So those are some of the ideas. And of course, you know, the idea of the bill is also where Kapofi is saying that the new bill will improve transparency by requiring the government actually to report on oil royalties annually to the National Assembly. So, and those who are involved will also then, like senior officials, will disclose their asset to the president so that there's no conflict of interest. Yeah, so those are some of ideas, that the reaction to that move. What is yours? What is your reaction? 083-366. What do you think about it? So, as I said, these are issues that as a nation we need to talk about. Yeah, so all right. 083-366-091. Our time is about 48 minutes past the hour of 9. So what is your reaction? What is your take of some of the ideas that are being you know, expressed here? So call us. Let's keep the conversation going.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I Madina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa yae shiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tisamweni. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakudo nirandi toma yoe. Yonge shifa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira Selma. kodara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. And if you're just tuning in, we have about 10 minutes before we come to the end of unpacking the day. Yeah, maybe let me, 10 minutes, I can do, yeah, let me, it's important information if I don't bring this, just to, you know, talk about it, even if you, you know, you don't come through it. Yeah, so the other... Yeah. Now, this is something I would have loved to talk about yesterday's as well. And this, and it's linked to some of the things that we were saying. Namibia has lost about 30,000, employers in just 5 years. And that's two out of every three business gone, you know? If you put it that way, for mostly small and medium enterprises, that's more linked to what we were talking about. And when employer vanish, of course, these are the issues. When employer vanishes, when we have about 30,000 employers vanished, job vanished with them, you know, the job vanished with them. So maybe the question is, what is behind this collapse? What is behind this collapse, and is it red tape? Is it taxes, or deeper economic cracks? Could be some other deeper economic cracks, and possibly what does this mean for our future? So that's very very important to look at. Now, in 2018. Okay, in 2018, Namibia had about 45,000 employers, okay, people running businesses, hiring workers, keeping the economy alive. Fast forward to 2023, and that number has actually gone down to just 15,000. No wonder why we have a higher unemployment rate. So it plugged down to, it plugged to just 15,000. Now, that is a 66% drop. 66% drop. And at the same time, unemployment has skyrocketed from 33% to 55%. Now, when business failed, definitely job disappeared. Simple math. It's a simple math. But why is that? Maybe the most important thing is why it's happening. Well, analysts point to policy, you know, challenge, policy hurdles. It's about policy. And that's also one thing, you know, Domingo yesterday mentioned, that we need to actually reform and we need a radical policy. So analysts point to that in terms of policy hurdles, higher cost, you know, and lack of support for SMEs. So that's also something that we don't. And SMEs, as has been taunted about, that is the backbone of any economy. And we don't seem to be actually support them. So we're saying one thing and really doing the opposite, you know. So if it's the backbone of any economy, why isn't being supported in a way that he should? Well, meanwhile, the government borrowing also keep rising. You know, factor that in as well. It keep rising, now at 26 billion, leaning heavily on pension fund, you know. So the question is this sustainable? So, you know, look at the direction we're going into. Now, maybe let's dig this deep a little bit into it. Now, the SME crisis, is it policy or poor support? Now, first, why are so many small businesses now closing shops? Namibia SMEs policy, we have Namibia SMEs policy, a new equitable economic empowerment framework, NIEF, you remember that? This was supposed actually to boost local entrepreneurs. So this was established to boost local entrepreneurs. But are they working? As always, oversight and implementation. Always, that's a big disease we have in our country. And I always said, somehow, maybe those in a strategic positions, they are benefiting. And that's why they are not pushing this. So some say excessive regulations, you know, slow of licensing and higher taxes is what actually suffocating small businesses. That's what is actually suffocating small business. Now, if you're a hairdresser in Katatura or a mechanic in Ongwediva, how is it, okay? And I think that's one thing that, who was actually talking about this? How easy is it to register, to get loans, for example? Just to register a company, to get a loan, or even keep up with the compliance costs? Huh? Not very, really. Now, meanwhile, you have the big corporation often get breaks. Some of big corporation often get breaks, maybe because of what they bring. And is this a case of policy failing the elite guy, the little guy? So now is this, you know, are we seeing a little guy, a case of a policy actually failing now the little guy and more paying, you know, focusing more on the bigger guy. Now, and then the tax trap, who really paying? Okay. Now here's another issue. Only 4% of Namibian pay personal income tax. 4%. Only 4% of Namibian pay personal income tax. Now just of 0.5%, 0.5 are employers. That means the burden falls on a tiny slice of the populations. On a tiny slice of the populations. Well, last year tax adjustments were meant now to widen the net. But did it they? Many small businesses operate informally because formalizing is too costly. It's too costly. So are we taxing survivors instead of growing the base? Look at our Income Tax Act. Does it encourage business or push people into the shadow economy? Does it? Yeah? It's more likely actually pushing, you know, pushing people into the shadow economy. It doesn't really encourage business. Well, now, we talked about debt, government borrowing up to $26 billion this year, mostly from banks and pension funds. Pension funds are already overexposed, 49% in local asset versus the legal 45 cap. Now, so we are depending on retirees. How do you call it? Retired people or retiring? We are depending on the retirees. Retirees? I don't know how can say that. Someone who's retirees? Doesn't sound right. So we are depending on the retirees. We're depending on the saving of the people who are being retired to fund today's spending, you know? So what happened when that, maybe when it ran dry, it could run dry. You remember Namibia's Public Finance Management Act. It demands fiscal responsibility. So, but are we seeing it? Eh? Are we seeing it? So, yeah, the economy is growing. It's growing at just 3%, barely keeping up pace with actually population growth. So to cut unemployment, we need a 4 to 6%, you know. The Bank of Namibia cut interest rates to boost spending, but was it too soon maybe? Okay. Cheaper loan help, but if inflation spike, no, we have no tool left. We really have no tool left. And while sector like oil and gas and mining, they offer hope, you know. So we still depend on the confidence of the investors. So no confidence, no jobs. It's that simple. It's that simple. So yeah. So what does all this mean? Fewer businesses mean fewer jobs. Fewer taxpayers mean more debt. That's the connection. And more debt means less money for schools, for hospitals, for road, for infrastructure. So things that actually help, you know, help people. So we are in a vicious circles. So the NDP6 talks about entrepreneurship, but our words translating into actions. That's what we were talking about yesterday. Are we empowering Namibians to build businesses or buying them or burying them actually in bureaucracy? So that's the question for you to discuss. So wherever you find yourself, with your colleagues, with your family, with those in a know-how, with your governors, with your councillors. Yeah, that's the discussion we should have. All right? Well, we have come to the end. So to the end of our unpacking the day. So let me cross. I'm going to cross you now, cross you over to Tate France for Kutha Mosha. So thank you for coming through, those who participate in the discussion. And yeah, hopefully let's do this again next week. Let's do this again Monday next week on a different topic. Yeah, so I'll see you tomorrow. So at 11 o'clock, around from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock with Mind Matter. So have a great weekend. And have a good one. So, and from me, Michael Chevelli, I wish you all the best. And goodbye for now.